Fine. Really happy to be here. Super excited to have Aleš Holacek back. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
And we talked to you the last build. You at that point had run basically WinRT. That was your baby. And now you're doing, what are you doing these days? Start off there.
Yeah, so at Microsoft, like I think that everybody knows about the whole big One Microsoft effort, which we are kind of driving. And we are finally kind of getting to the point that the vision which we kind of set out to build the beginning of Windows Phone and Windows 8 is starting to really come together for real. And I think that the keynote today was a really great example of this, where all of the assets are coming together in the Universal Apps. And so you spoke earlier today with Kevin Gallo.
Yep.
And so Kevin and I, we are running the developer ecosystem and platform team. And so this is the first time in a very long time at Microsoft where we have the whole client platform assets in a one place, and our team is we are kind of shepherding and stewarding the client platform assets for Microsoft.
Excellent. And of course, you also used to own DirectX.
Yes.
And so we wanted to talk a little bit about DirectX for people out there who are programming DirectX with DirectX 12.
Yes.
You've introduced some pretty impressive new capabilities and features. Can we talk about that for a little while?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like we obviously believe that DirectX is, and Direct3D is one of the most advanced and most awesome graphics APIs. And I want to kind of maybe start a little bit with a piece of history, because
sure.
I think that it's super interesting, right? So, roughly around when we hit Windows 7, we kind of started to realize that those were the days when we used pretty much DirectX and D3D were kind of synonymous, although we had things like Direct Sound and Direct Input and things like that. But they were DirectX was mostly synonymous with D3D. And so one of the things which we started to realize is that we need to move the whole rendering stack for the operating system, the rendering and composition stack for the operating system, we need to move it to a hardware acceleration. And so we did a lot of work across the graphics team and composition team and window management team to achieve that goal. So we effectively have a completely hardware accelerated, and we keep talking about it, completely hardware accelerated graphics stack, composition stack, the whole user interface of phone and Xbox and PC and tablets, all of that set on this common base. And obviously, we took a little bit of a detour. If you are a game developer, we took a little bit of a detour because we spend a lot of time building things like Direct2D, which is a rich set of APIs for rendering 2D stuff. And the reason we needed that was because we wanted to build a user interfaces in it. And so like D2D was super important for us. And then we needed Direct Image for manipulating raster objects and whatnot. And Direct Compute got booted. And Direct Write, which is for text layout and rasterization, and so like we started to kind of lay down the foundation for completely fully hardware accelerated composited operating system, and we kind of already at the beginning of Windows 7 we started the departure away from GDI software based rendering, and we kind of got into a meaningful place where we and obviously somewhere. At the beginning of this was the new driver model, which we introduced in Vista. If you look at all the way back to Vista, like we introduced WDDM, and that was kind of the basis of this whole journey, right? Mm. And so that was pretty exciting and pretty cool. And so now we finally arrived to the place where we kind of feel that the base and the foundation is pretty solid, and we have everything which we need. And now we are kind of starting the next iteration. And so one of the things which we have done, and I think that people saw it in the keynote around Xbox One, we really are trying to push what we can get out of the hardware. Like we get constant feedback, particularly from the game developer community, but not just from the game developer community. There's CAD apps, there's visualization apps. A whole bunch of people pretty much are coming back and say, let us get closer to the hardware. Like we really want to get down to the iron. And so we started to analyze sort of the overhead where we see opportunities around improvements in a performance. And that comes with a set of trade-offs, which are very, very interesting. We give you a lot of control, but we also give you a lot more responsibility to make sure that the app is running great and not crashing and that type of stuff. And so at GDC, we introduced something which we call DirectX 12, which is kind of the next generation of DX. And the key focus there is on performance, CPU, reducing CPU utilization, improving parallelization, things like that.
Excellent. Now, of course, once we put you on the hook for DirectX, we have questions coming in, which are the most important one. Thank you for asking, Niners. Keep it up. What is the minimum OS requirement to use Direct3D 12 API? What's the requirement for Direct3D 12 feature level?
So our goal is to run DX12 on pretty much all Windows 7 hardware, modulo some very, very early kind of XP upgraded netbooks type of things.
Okay.
But I would say modern Windows 7 hardware, we should be able to, we believe that we will be able to run DX12.
Nice.
And so we are really aiming for the breadth of the market, and we really want to rejuvenate and give developers control over the hardware which is already out there. Now, obviously, we are very much counting on our friends at NVIDIA and Intel and AMD and Qualcomm and all of these other GPU vendors to do a fantastic job and, you know, invest with us and build better drivers and then even start to invest into silicon. But the baseline is all Win 7 hardware.
Awesome. Andre C. wants to know, will Direct2D, DirectWrite also be available on Windows Phone with DX12?
Yes.
Carl Hines asks, DX12, which OSs will support it? We already talked about that. So Windows
right.
7?
Yeah, so we are definitely right now, we are absolutely aware that right now there is a huge install base of Windows 7 machines, and we are trying to figure out what is the right way for us to deliver the DX experience on those machines. Exactly how we get there, there's still a lot of conversation. We are gathering a lot of feedbacks, both from our silicon partners as well as from our ISV partners, from people who build software on the top of the DX APIs. And so we are going to figure out what target OSs we are going to run it on, but the hardware is absolutely going to be made available.
Awesome. So the net is you don't need new hardware. That'll help,
yes,
obviously.
That absolutely will help, but you don't need new hardware.
Right on. So Scott wants to know, and he's sort of asking, why not add DirectX into WinRT so all languages can use it? So people ask questions like, hey, I'm a C# developer. It's going to be difficult for me to write a DirectX app because I don't speak C++.
Yes.
So he's really asking, why not make DirectX sort of a shareable component that anyone can program into?
It is a fantastic question. And it is not a question which is lost on us. We obviously understand that this is something which our developers want and are looking for. We are trying to figure out what is the right approach to this. Right now, the shape of the APIs, which we are trying to target with DirectX 12, is to remove every ounce of overhead we possibly can, because it is really about like just going down to the metal.
Mm.
And WinRT, frankly, has some level of overhead because it deals with things like projections and things like that. So there is a little bit of a tension about exactly how to manage this. But this ask is not lost on us. It's on our roadmap to rationalize. And I promise that we are going to have a good solution for WinRT developers to target that hardware and be able to get to these native speeds. How exactly we get there, there's question marks still to be resolved.
And excellent. So, but you certainly have a pool of engineering talent all together to figure that out.
Oh, absolutely. And we are very excited to
right on
walk on that problem.
So this is the second time I've seen those three letters, XNA. Will we get an XNA variation for Xbox One development? XNA is one of those things that's just not going to go away.
Yeah. So again, a lot of conversation in our conference rooms and offices around what should we do with XNA. And obviously, we will keep XNA up and running. One of the things which we are, however, seeing is that there is a lot of investment which is going into what I would call either open source or third party middleware. And the big decision for us is to figure out, like, do we want to go and bring yet another one to the market? Do we want to go and compete with things like Unity and Marmalade and all of these different game engines, or do we just want to say, look, no, we're going to embrace what is happening, in the market. And so today we kind of talked about how important it is for us to treat your code investments and how we understand that the code you write needs to be as leveraged as possible across multiple different form factors and OSs and that type of stuff. And so XNA kind of feels maybe a little bit of that it may be kind of a dead end.
Right on. So It's interesting. So, again, we're going to be asking us about any ideas if managed DirectX is coming back. Monogame and SharpDX seem to be the only solutions for C-sharp game development. It's all related to that initial question. But this, you know, what is the situation with that?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
So, any ideas of managed?
I'm buzzing in my pocket, so let me.
Is it your boss?
I don't know. But
Kevin's like, "What'd you say?"
We're not doing that.
Yeah. Right on. So basically, we did answer that question. Their team is going to work on figuring out a solution for, you know, for people who don't write C++ to be able to target the hardware in a way that's very efficient. And there's also something you could check out on Channel 9 that's there right now. Might give you some idea of some of the great work they're doing in terms of nativizing things. All right, so Ray Powers wants to know, are there any changes to the shader pipeline we could be aware of? You're going to get hammered with DirectX because we advertise it as that.
Yeah, seems like it. I mean, look, there are obviously improvements like across the shader pipeline, which we are going to be looking at. It is mostly right now around optimizations and overhead reduction and pre-compilation and increasing the size of, you know, context and shaders and introducing the shader compiler into WinRT and into the modern SDK. But there are no substantial changes to the shader pipeline.
Right on. So will WPF benefit from DirectX 12?
Still being investigated. We don't have a clear answer on that. We would like to make that so.
Cool. DirectX 12 versus Mantle, positive, negatives, and differences?
I would say absolutely positive. Mantle obviously is scoped down to AMD hardware. AMD is a wonderful company doing a lot of cool stuff. DirectX runs pretty much on anything which we can put Windows on, and so we plan to make it run from phones all the way to Xbox One, and so from that perspective, much broader reach. From performance perspective, we think that we will be, you know, I would say pessimistically we'll be as good, but I'm pretty sure we will be better. Or we will do everything we can to be better. So I think that it's net positive.
So I'm going to just say there's more DirectX questions here. Thanks for asking them. Of course, we advertise this as DirectX, but of course you could ask Alesh a wider variety of questions that are related to, you know, the fact that Windows now runs everywhere across our devices. And the platform that comes along with it, his team had done a lot of work there. So back in the day when WinRT came out, one of the cool things about it was this notion of projections.
Yes.
Was this notion of, hey, here's a runtime that's going to sit here, project into me. You'll just have to implement a compiler that supports what we expect it to support.
That's right.
The problem was you couldn't implement things like JIT and GC because it couldn't access those APIs. So Is there any work going on right now without divulging anything?
Yeah.
Are you guys still looking at the projection, growing the projection tree?
Oh, look, we absolutely believe in the projections. Like, we absolutely believe the and David Treadwell touched on it today and during the keynote. Like, the language independence of the Windows runtime and the fact that we enable developers to kind of choose the language of their choice. We kind of look at language as a tool. Mm-hmm. The fact that you can start writing in C++, that you can build stuff in C#, you can build stuff in VB, you can build stuff with JavaScript. Like, there's nothing which prevents you from accessing WinRT from Python. Like, it is effectively a set of code with a whole bunch of metadata, and
sure. It
is up to the language owner to develop the right bindings. We have actually Python running against WinRT, now some decisions obviously have to be made. But
sure, excellent. Man.
Yeah, like, we absolutely believe in the whole WinRT promise and going cross languages with as little implementation as we possibly can. After all, we're like developers and engineers, and we're kind of lazy. And
right on.
So less code we can write, better for us.
Just need to be able to deal with COM, right? Or is it beyond the COM level? It's above that level.
Well, I mean, like, look, COM is a set of conventions, right? Mm-hmm. So I've closely worked with Don Box. We all remember him fondly, right?
Yep.
And he keeps kind of looking at me or bringing my COM back and like, what are you doing to me? But COM is ultimately a set of useful conventions. And we have stripped out of COM a whole bunch of stuff, which was on the crazier side, and we just kind of stick to the simple set of conventions, you know, around activation, lifetime management, discoverability of objects, things like that, which there's only so many ways to implement it. And we had a good, robust implementation, and it seems, why reinvent the wheel? You know what I mean?
Sure. Well, I mean, the way that it was implemented, arguably, I mean, the pureness of COM is actually quite beautiful.
That's right.
But it, I think over the years, it got sort of polluted with complexity.
Absolutely. Like, you know, you take DCOM and enterprise services and all of these weird things, which we, COM Plus, and all of these different things, which we added into the mix. And the system became very complicated. But if you kind of like go all the way down to the simple adref release I unknown UI and set of GUI, it's like it is just beautiful. Like it doesn't get that much better, right?
Agreed, man. It's a very simple yet wonderful thing. So back to some DirectX 12. Thanks for asking questions. Again, you can ask him anything you want about WinRT, Windows, go low, go deep, whatever you want, man. So let's see. I'm going to ask, are these DirectX improvements coming to WinRT? Jimmy11 asked that.
Yeah, so I'm not entirely sure how to interpret the question, but like I will try two different interpretations, and hopefully we will please Jimmy here. So all of these improvements which we are putting on into DirectX will make it into what we call the modern SDK, the SDK for the Windows Store and Windows Phone applications. All of these changes will be ultimately reflected in that SDK, and so you will be able to use that. Right now, and we already touched on it, so that's the first answer to that question. The second part is, right now we are still trying to figure out how to provide a metadata-based exposure, Windows metadata-based exposure on a top of the DirectX platform, because there are performance trade-offs between the binding and versus just going as close to the metal as we can. And our key objective around DX12 right now are undeniably around performance. And so we want to make sure that all of the things which we are doing don't impede on any of the performance objectives and goals which we have.
Sure.
And then the second kind of step is going to be how do we provide the right binding to all the other languages. But it is absolutely on our roadmap to make sure that developers have that level of control, or at least some level of control, which is better than what we have today for programming out of C Sharp. Everybody knows Sharp DX, and so that's kind of a similar thing. Although that is a wrapper around DX, and so we would like to avoid the wrapping thing. We would let, you know, there's conversation. What do we do from the JavaScript side? Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of rich conversation happening there.
Absolutely.
And there's another. I'm sorry. Aspect actually around this, which is, hey, you know, it's not just about the API Shay, but it's also about the complexity of the control. And so the DX12 is like you are responsible for DMA. Like that's the level of access we want to give you to the hardware. That is not sort of the layer which our typical WinRT programmer today writes code to. And so maybe we need another layer of abstraction on the top of it, which will give you lots of this functionality, but maybe a little more of the higher level semantics on the top of the API.
And look, there's no reason why the community couldn't do that, right? We didn't write Sharp DX.
Oh, absolutely.
So
absolutely. But we definitely, this is on our roadmap. We understand this is a problem. We are going to solve that problem.
Great. So can DirectX 12 be used in all available languages, i.e. Python and others?
Yeah, this is the same question.
Same question. Mm-hmm. So we're going to move on to, do you have plans for hardware support for ray tracing?
Not as a part of DX 12. We definitely talk about all kinds of interesting things, which we could be driving into the hardware with our IHV friends. Obviously, ray tracing is one of them. There was just a recent announcement about hardware-accelerated ray tracing. You know, there's other possibilities and other opportunities which we are looking at about what we can do, and we have projects which could benefit from some of these technologies greatly.
So this is sort of related to the question about, here we have, oh, I like this one. Are you related to Steve Ballmer?
No.
Good question, Victor. Very perceptive.
By the way, Victor,
man,
this is not the first time I've heard that question.
No, that's a totally great question here. Nice.
Yeah.
So
Steve B is my daddy. That's right.
All right, man. So are there any feature enhancements related to the DirectX and XAML on update 1? So being able to have the nice DirectX running on top of XAML surface, have we done more?
Yeah, I mean, like, look, XAML is absolutely first-class DX client. All of the things which we are doing in DX, XAML is going to benefit. We absolutely want that to translate. We have done a lot of work around swap chain background panels and swap chain panels, which lets you integrate DX and XAML into a nice layered application. Obviously, DX12 will participate in that as a first-class citizen. So all of that is going to translate quite nicely.
Awesome. So this is a good question, because HLSL is sort of important when you're doing DirectX programming. So HLSL is still a language that lacks a lot of IDE feature support. Any roadmap on VS features for HLSL, such as IntelliSense, syntax highlighting, debugging?
Yep, lots of work happening there for sure.
Right on.
Tooling, obviously, GPUs are very close and dear to our heart, and lots of investment into the tooling. Anything from what can we do on the authoring side all the way into diagnostics, and you know, we are all very familiar with the PIX tool, investing there. Just across the whole pipeline.
Excellent. So Nirmal's asking about DirectX 12 and sort of the universal app model, right? So will DirectX 12 make Xbox games and Windows games come together as like universal apps? So I guess this one way you could ask the question is, you can write a DirectX 12 universal app.
Yes.
There's your answer.
I think that's what Nirmal is asking, yes.
So I'm developing a DirectX 11.x application. What should I be aware of for Direct 12?
For DX12?
Yeah.
Right now, and I'm speaking to the shape of the API which exists today. Doesn't like we are going to go and do a lot of. We are already running a program where we are sitting down with people who are developing games and which are developing these high throughput applications, and we are collecting a lot of feedback on the API. Do we have the right shape? Do we have the right level of control? The API is a little bit different, again, mainly because we, for example, don't do any safeguarding on your resource lifetime. You are responsible for managing the resource lifetime. Whereas in DX11, we actually made sure that all of the resources are properly accounted for and loaded and unloaded and all of that type of stuff, which obviously, if you try to load 10,000 objects or what have you on the top of the GPU, like each of these objects had to get ref counted. And that's where some of the overhead comes in. And so in order for us to remove all of that overhead and simplify that, we pretty much are giving you complete control, which is good for you, but now you are in charge, which comes with all of the consequences.
You can blow your toes off,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it can blow your toes off.
And so, hey, Jeremiah Morrow, how are you doing, Jeremiah? Jeremiah is a C++ MVP. He's a very smart guy, great programmer. Will Win8 XAML's rendering engine ever move to Direct2D like Trident has?
Yes, we are absolutely in the works of moving the whole, like unifying all of our rendering technologies, starting with the low-level OS composition engine, which we all love, all the way up to Trident and XAML, making sure that we are using all of the same rendering primitives, because that's kind of where we get the economy of scale. That's kind of where we get all of the optimization tricks settled. So absolutely moving there.
Right on. So Raphael wants to know, this is actually a good question, because there is a learning curve, right? I mean, there is going to be with anything that's sort of advanced, gives you access to the raw machine. But is Microsoft concerned about the learning curve for developing using DirectX? Or out in the real world, there's sort of this notion that OpenGL is easier.
Yes.
That's his question.
Yes.
Productivity.
Yeah, I love the question. So yes, we are absolutely concerned. And I kind of touched on it. That's my boss there.
Oh, right on. He's doing great, man.
Yeah. we are absolutely concerned about that. And so one of the things which, and I already touched on it, is, look, there's a little bit of a dichotomy between, look, I want to control over every part of the rendering pipeline versus, hey, please make it easier for me. And every time we abstract the complexities, we take some level of control. And so one of the things which we are really, really working on is kind of layering the stack in the right way. So people who want to go really down to the metal and control the DMA buffers and control the resources in the most native way, they can certainly do so. And then we need to kind of come up with another layer of the API, which is like much more simpler, much more abstracted, where maybe that's the right layer to put the WinRT projections on top of and so on. And so, yes, we are very concerned about this. Mm-hmm. We need to figure out where the right balance is, but we definitely want to end up with a properly layered system.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great point. It's a hard thing to balance.
Yeah.
So you did see this on Channel 9 and also MSDN. We're actually going to talk with the .NET native people probably on Friday, but I know that you were involved with the .NET native, which was, we can say Project N. Everyone knows that it's Project N.
Yes.
So there you go, Mary Jo. So that's this question.
Yeah, so Project N, what is the future?
Yeah,
future is bright. Like, is that a good answer? I don't know.
Well, let's first tell people what .NET Native actually is.
Yeah, so .NET Native is, we are trying to, so our phone developers are familiar with something which we call internally Triton. I don't know how publicly known.
We did. This is the MDIL.
Yeah, this is
compiler in the cloud.
Yeah, something which we have built for the phone. But so Project N is effectively taking your C# code and compiling it down to a PE binaries. That's kind of our goal. And we want to remove all of the jitting, we want to remove all of the engineering, and we just want to go down to the metal, make the C# code, the code which you write for CLR, and make it as fast and as native as we possibly can. And so that's what Project N is. Our goal is to make it as transparent to developers as possibly we can. We would love to put it into the cloud, just like we have today Triton, or the compiler in the cloud. And so the future is bright. We just released, I'm sure JB knows, or whoever asked the question knows, that we just released a preview of this, and we are looking for feedback. Please download it. Run your app through it. Tell us what's working, what's not working, because we really want to perfect it and make it great.
Absolutely. And I want to make a shout out to the Visual C++ backend compiler team, who's actually taking IL and transforming it into highly optimized machine code.
Exactly right. We are using
rock and roll.
Yeah, the C++ backend compiler is rocking our boats. Like,
you know it, man. .NET gone native.
They are awesome. We love them.
So do you have plan for Leap Motion device support?
Do we have a Leap Motion device support, plans for Leap Motion device support? Obviously, Windows is super open system, and we want to enable all of this different hardware innovation, particularly when it's related to NUI and gestures and things like that. Like, this is what we think where the future goes, and so all of the work which we are doing is enable that level of innovation, this type of innovation on Windows. We want all of these innovators to come to Windows and do their best work, and so. We don't have Leap in house. We did, like, there's nothing to talk about here, but
sure.
We definitely are looking at similar technologies internally, but outside of that, we want them to innovate on Windows.
Right on. And so Saksham wants to know, what is the extent of support that Windows Phone 8.1 provides for DirectX 12?
So DX12 is not a released product yet, so nothing on 8.1.
Cool. Will DX12 support anything similar to OpenGL's extensions to add vendor-specific functionality?
Right now, it is not part of our plan, and like nobody really showed up and say, "Hey, we want a vendor-specific functionality."
Mm-hmm.
So it's not on our roadmap at this point.
Right on. So Roy wants to know: is the Windows Manager going to go away in future versions of Windows?
Well, so it's funny that there's a window manager and Win32k.sys in the parentheses.
Yeah, the one's a driver, or yeah, does that even exist?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yes. Our team owns this component, and we dearly love it. Is it going away? Obviously, for reasons of app compatibility and all of that stuff, particularly in the desktop OSs, it's not going to go away because we have to deliver all of that functionality. But we are doing a huge amount of innovation in the window management. Some of that was already alluded today in the keynote where we saw the Windows Store apps running in a window. And so we are looking at a lot of innovation. And so is it going away? That's probably not the right way to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's undergoing a lot of innovation and a lot of investment.
Outstanding. So Carl Heinz Rang, the DXUT header helps for developing in DX, but it lacks sometimes in performance. Will DXUT be improved?
Please submit that suggestion somewhere.
Sure.
I'm sure we have some.
We're going to keep all these questions, and we'll be able to get an answer for you.
Right now, we are not doing any deep work on it, but like if this is something which the community thinks that we should be investing into, we would be happy to.
Right on. I mean, it'd be good to know some scenarios.
Exactly.
So, man, you're just DX man today. I'm sorry.
It's no problem.
Right,
like, look, I love DX.
Right,
like, it's our bread and butter.
But we should have Don Box here getting grilled.
Exactly.
Are there default shader pipelines for DirectX 12 for rapid prototyping?
Not right now, but so we are including the compiler in the SDK, so you can build a rapid prototyping pipeline. Like, I don't know if that answers the question.
Okay. So the final question, and we've heard this, C++ AMP. Obviously, C++ AMP relies on DirectX, right? Because that's how it's computing on the GPU.
That's how we do compute. Yeah.
Exactly. So are there new HLSL features that are coming with D3, D12?
Are there new HLSL features that are coming in D3, D12? Nothing substantial at this point in time, like not that I...
Cool. So you should definitely use C++ AMP, whoever wrote that.
Yep.
Thank you.
We love AMP.
It looks like we have to wrap it up, because we're now going over, and I'm sure these people want to watch. Actually, no, why? They don't need to watch the session. We got Alesh here.
Yeah.
Hey, man, thanks for coming.
No problem. Thank
Always
you, everybody.
Great to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Great questions.